my favorite preachers here, and I like to follow preaching. This is all I've ever wanted to do, and it is an honor truly to be here, and I echo everything that's already been said about this wonderful worship team. I give honor to my pastor, Pastor David Myers, for heading up the vision of this, and Brother Harvey and this wonderful church for facilitating the Vision of Winds Conference. Haven't you been blessed already? Amen. Amen. And I'll swap with you. How about that? Well, praise God. That one sounds better anyways. I like this one a whole lot more. Amen. And I am looking forward tonight from hearing from Pastor Myers, and then Sunday from Brother Caleb Herring and Brother Chris Green. You're going to be blessed. And we heard a word from the Lord last night, didn't we? Amen. 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 You're getting it easy in Australia, because typically we have three services in America. And so I hope you're ready to have one more round of church here today. Amen. Praise God. Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 1. We will begin reading at verse number 14, book of Genesis chapter 1, beginning verse number 14. And I do feel like God has given me some direction, and I've come with a word. Last night I was in the altar, and I was posed this question in my spirit: do you believe that I can change an entire nation in one moment? And it kind of took me back, I'm going to be honest with you, because in my human nature, that seems impossible. Politics try to change nations and they can't get it done. Legislation tries to change nations and it can't get it done. But when you think about the God that created the heavens and the earth, I believe that this conference is not just happening because we wanted to take winds overseas. I believe that God has destined this meeting that something would shift in the nation of Australia. And I believe that before this meeting is over and we shut the doors on this and we say, man, it was a good conference, something is going to take place in the supernatural and in the spirit world that will leave a lasting impact on this nation. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. You feel the witness to that right now? My goodness. Genesis chapter 1 and verse number 14, if you have it, say amen. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heaven to divide the day from the night. And let them be for signs, everybody say, and for seasons, and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater to rule the day and the lesser to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. I want to take our title today from verse number 18. When God created the sun, the moon, and the stars, he purposed them to rule over the day and to rule over the night. I want to preach to you today on this subject, rulers of the night. Would you lift your hands one more time all over this house? Would you lift your voices, and would you ask that God would have his will and his way in the remainder of this service? Lord, I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for what we've already heard. I thank you for what you put in my spirit this morning. Now allow me to deliver it, God, without fetter. I pray right now by the power of the word of God and by the authority that's in the name of Jesus, you would loose the gifts of the Spirit into this atmosphere. Pray that you would confirm this word with signs following, God, and I know that you're going to do great things. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Shout it like you know it's a weapon. In. Amen. Clap your hands before you're seated and give the Lord a shout of praise. Come on, give him a shout of praise. Shout like you know you got the victory. Shout like you know that God's going to do something great. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen, amen. You may be seated in Jesus' name. I believe it's very evident in the culture that we are living in that the church is operating in the midnight hour. It was Jaques Bruzen writing for the New York Times that said, when people accept futility and the absurd as normal, the culture is considered decadent. Decadent simply means to be categorized by or reflecting a state of moral or cultural decline. I believe in what this city is celebrating this weekend, we could all testify that culture has declined. In the United States, 70 years ago, there was a decency panel that was put together to protect the moral fabric of society and not allow things to be broadcasted on television that would destroy the moral fabric of the United States and the world. Now, when you turn on your source of media, it has made premarital sex a common thing. It has made homosexuality a normal thing. And it has made immodesty an expression of self. As long as you're speaking your truth in this world, you are fine as far as the world standards go. Isaiah said it this way of the day that we are living in Isaiah 5:20. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. When you study the word darkness, you find that it is described by three ancient Hebrew pictographs, the second one being the shin. The shin is pictured as teeth, simply meaning crushed, broken down, and destroyed. It reminds me of the words of Jesus Christ in John 10:10 when he said, "The thief cometh not, but forth to steal and to kill and to destroy." Proverbs said it this way in Proverbs 4:19, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." Job said it this way in Job 5:14, "They meet with darkness in the daytime, and they grope in the noonday as it is the night." The description of these two verses teaches us something that is not a natural darkness as the sun is setting on a day. But you are reading in Scripture something that is much more detrimental to a society. It is spiritual darkness. However, spiritual darkness is not out of the normal for the church, for it was John recording in 3:19 that he says, "And this is the condemnation," simply meaning this is the verdict, "that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil." I believe that if you were to describe the day that we are living in right now, it would be just like Egypt in the days of the Exodus, when God spoke to Moses and said, "Stretch your hand over the land." And when he did, he released a darkness into the land that the Bible says that could be felt. I believe that when you step out of the safety of the four walls of this building into a city like Sydney, you can feel the darkness of the world. You can feel the corruption of society. However, when the night begins to draw on a spiritual darkness, you and I must understand that there has always been a contrast to the light. Because while Egypt was in darkness, the Bible said, "And the children of Israel had light in their dwellings." I realize that the world is dark. I realize that society is darker as far as we are concerned than it has ever been. But I also remind you the words of 1 Peter 2:9. "But you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You, my friend, are a holy nation and a peculiar people that you should show forth." That's a call to action. That's a verb. That's not just a little phrase. No, to show forth means you have to materialize. It means you have to do something. For you to show forth, it means you've got to create something in the... Show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness. This light is not categorized as any normal light, friend. It's a marvelous light. I thank God that I'm not in any old light, but it's a marvelous light. When I was baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, someone shout, "It's a marvelous light." Now, I was brought up in church, and in church we used to sing a nursery rhyme that went like this. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. I'm gonna let it. Hide it under a bushel. Friend, God never called us to hide the light of Calvary within the four walls of a church building. And I've come today to remind you that while the church is in here having light, there's a city out there that's in corruption and darkness. And it's time for us to realize God gave us the light to be a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. And I refuse to hide the joy of my salvation. We are called to be in a dark world, the light of the world, the light of the world. We read in Genesis chapter 1 in our text, we find that God created the great light, which would be the sun, the lesser light to be the moon. And then out of nowhere, he puts these little stars also. When he created the stars, the sun and the moon, he said, I'm creating you to give light upon the earth. And he said two things. He said, I need you to rule the day, but I also need you to learn how to rule the night. You have to understand that stars are very important to us as the New Testament church, because when you begin to read about stars, you go back to Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 5. You read, and he brought him forth, speaking of Abraham, and said, now look toward the heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. In Deuteronomy 1 and 10, the Lord your God hath multiplied you. Behold, you are this day as the stars of heaven for a multitude. Why does this Abrahamic promise excite you and I here today? Because I've read Galatians 3:29 where it says, if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It's no wonder that he told Abraham, your seed is going to be like the stars. And he said to you and I, we are Abraham's seed, because when you step out into the darkness of the night, friend, I have yet to seen a star tremble when it's surrounded by the darkness and the corruption of society. I have never seen a star on a sky lit beautifully by the night, and you look up and you just see those little stars twinkling up there. I've never seen one tremble in fear. I've never seen one worried about the darkness that it's surrounded by. But when those stars are up there, friend, they just so let their light shine. And I'm here to tell you, I realize that you're up against a world that is dark and it is corrupted. But I'm also here to tell you that there's a reason he said, I made the stars to rule the night. God put you here not to be worried about the hour, but to shine brighter than ever before. The stars, when you read Genesis 22:17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thee. Hell, thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed, everybody say, thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. The stars are going to possess the gates. That sounds familiar when you read Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18. And Peter had just told Jesus, I know who you are. You are the mighty God in Christ. He said, Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church and the gates of hell. I said, and the gates of hell. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Friend, you must understand that the stars were called to possess gates. Gates were more important than just an entrance like you and I see them today, but gates were the seat of authority. At the gates, wisdom was uttered. At the gates, judges and officers served. At the gates, they administered justice. At the gates, the council of state was held. At the gates, prophets proclaimed God's message. Can I tell you today, when he said the gates of hell shall not prevail, he said the stars are supposed to possess the gates. Can I tell you what he was telling you and I? Those who sit in authority authority in hell, they will not prevail. The wisdom and plans of hell, they will not prevail. The officers that execute the orders in hell, they will not prevail. The councils that tried to be taken against the church, they shall not prevail. And every false prophet with a lying spirit in its mouth trying to tell you that the church can't grow if it holds its standards and its one God message and its baptism in Jesus' name, I've come today to tell you that's a lying spirit. The gates of hell, you're called to possess gates as the stars. If you believe that, clap your hands and shout with a voice of triumph. Come on, praise him like you believe it. But friend, the stars are not us alone. I said the stars are not us alone. When you begin to read about the stars, you begin to realize that the stars are called the host of heaven. The host of heaven, that's why he's called the Lord of. He's not talking just about you and I when he begins to describe the stars, but he's talking about angelic hosts. He's saying that you're not alone in this fight. There are angel armies that are teamed up with you and I. Let me tell you something. God is wanting to release angelic assistance to aid us in end time revival. I'm going to say that again. God is wanting to release angelic assistance to aid us in end time revival. And if you think we're going to have revival and take spiritual territory in wicked places without the aid of angelic hosts, you've got a lost mind and a lost thought. You have to understand we need heaven's help now more than ever. When you're dealing with a dark city like Sydney, friend, I need heaven to release some armies that are fighting the fight that I cannot fight. When you win the war with the sling, Daniel, you start praying and you start fasting. You win the war that you can win, and he'll send an archangel to win the war that you can't win. Hey, you've been fasting and praying 21 days, and it seemed like nothing is happening until the next thing you know, you're down by the river, and all of a sudden, a man steps down dressed in linen and gold. He said, I heard your prayer from the beginning, but I was caught up fighting what you could not fight. Can I tell you that there's about to be a release of angelic help in end-time revival? You've been praying, you've been fasting, you've been warring, and I'm telling you, God's about to release assistance from heaven. You begin to look in Revelation, you read about the seven churches of Asia. The Bible said that there were seven golden candlesticks. Then in the right hand, there were seven stars. You read about the seven golden candlesticks. These were seven churches that were on fire. They were on fire. I'm going to say that again. They were on fire. We don't have time to be a lukewarm church. We don't have time to waste a Sunday where we're not having an apostolic move of the Holy Ghost. We don't have time to not have prayer rooms on fire. We don't have time to not have Sunday school on fire. We don't have time to not have singing on fire. We don't have time to not have preaching on fire. We don't have time to not have Bible study teachers on fire. We need every...
Oh, come on, somebody.
I said, we need to be on fire. We need to get back to pre-service prayer where it's rocking. I tell you what, I want to get back to stepping in to a sanctuary, and I just step right in the middle of a fire. Oh, there's a little resistance right there. I said, we need to get back to pre-service prayer. You're not going to scare your guests away by creating an atmosphere where you're interceding. You're going to create an atmosphere where they're attracted to the real thing. I don't want a program to attract them. I don't want good singing to attract them. I don't want good preaching to attract them. They better be attracted to the fire, because if you get them attracted to the right thing, all you got to do is keep building the right thing.
got to be on fire. And he said to those seven golden candlesticks, the seven churches of Asia, you know, I find it peculiar that there's only one church that gets threatened to have its candlestick removed. You got a church that's dealing with the spirit of Jezebel. He ain't worried about that one. He knows you turn a prophet loose or a Jehu loose. We'll take care of Jezebel. You got a church that's lukewarm. You just turn a sweaty evangelist loose. You ain't even got to worry about a lukewarm church. Don't even worry about that. Just call Chris Green or Caleb Herring. God will take care of a lukewarm church. Doctrine of Balaam's in one church. No, I ain't worried about that either. But Ephesus, no, I'm worried about what's happening there. You know, and I begin to do a historical study on what began to take place. And Logos software, Brother Green taught me this. We were talking about that wonderful software on the way here. That Ephesus began to allow the influence of politics into the church. And so what they begin to do was, is they begin to let political influence of the world begin to influence how the fire was burning in the church. And God said, I'll deal with Jezebel, and I'll deal with lukewarm, I'll deal with the doctrine of Balaam, but you begin to allow darkness to begin to mingle with the light. You begin to allow a church to begin to intermingle with what I called it out of. Come on, somebody. That's when I say, I'm coming for your candlestick. Because the political influence was never supposed to mingle with the light. Light was supposed to influence darkness, not darkness influence light. And so he says, that's the church I'm worried about. The one that begins to allow to have darkness tell light how to have its church. The one that says, I'm going to let darkness tell you this is how you're supposed to operate and this is how you're supposed to live and this is what you're supposed to do. That's the church I'm telling you, I'm coming for your candlestick. Now, this is what I love is that you've got seven churches and each of these churches are on fire. And right in the midst of them, the Bible says, and Jesus stood in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. We need a Jesus-centered church. I said, we need a Jesus-centered church. These churches built on personalities, when personalities leave, they're going to fail. But you build it on the foundation of our chief cornerstone. That church is a church that's going to make it, and it's going to succeed, and it's going to have revival in spite of what the world looks like. We need Jesus right in the middle of everything. I said right in the middle of everything. And he says he's got seven angels in his right hand. God help me. And I begin to see this. And that would mean that for each church, there was an angel. I said for each church, there was an angelic assistance to aid them in revival. I'm here to tell you that God has got angelic assistance that is ready to aid us in revival. That's ready to be released in the end time. And if you'll stay on fire, angels have always been attracted to the fire. Hey, Gideon, you talking with an angel? Yeah, I sure am. How do you get him up in the heavens? Oh, he touches a rock and creates a fire. And it's the fire that opens the heavens that allows the angel to get up in the flame and ascend up into the heavenly. Hey, Manoah, I realize you're having a conversation with an angel. How does he get back up in the heavenlies? When there's a fire, he steps into the flame because the flame is what opens the heavens and allows for angelic ascension and descension. When you're on fire, you allow for the angelic presence to ascend and descend. You need to hear what I just said. That's why we cannot afford to be lukewarm and not on fire in the hour that we're living in. I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, the fire opens the heavens. I said the fire opens the heavens. The fire is what attracts the supernatural and the miraculous. And if we're going to have miracles, signs, and wonders, it's not going to be about how good I preach. It's going to be about the fire of the Holy Ghost.
It felt like Holy Ghost and Holy Ghost and you want it to be noised abroad. It's got to be on fire. We used to sing a song, oh, I wish somebody's soul would. Burning, 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 burning with the Holy Ghost. We got to see a church on fire. I said, we've got to see a church on fire. A church on fire. Why don't you lift your hands and just let the fire of the Holy Ghost burn for just a few moments? Mando roko shata yala baha yekehe. Let the Holy Ghost burn for just a few minutes. Harando lo bo shata yala baha. Maybe you've asked, how are we going to change the kings of this world, their word against the church? Maybe that's been your question. Daniel chapter 3 and verse number 28. Then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel. Where did he send the angel? Where did he send the angel? In the fire. And he delivered his servants that trusted in him. Now watch. And he changed the king's word. Well, I just don't know how we're going to have real revival in the hour that we're living in when politics are preaching what they're preaching and the kings of the world are promoting what they're promoting. I'll tell you how you're going to change the kings of the world's word. Just be on fire. I know it seems over. It's too simple. It really can't be that easy. I'm telling you, when you begin to catch on fire, things just begin to change in the community. I said, things just begin to change in the community. Kings that used to work against you, they quit working against you, and all of a sudden, the very people that used to be negative and talk bad about the Pentecostals, the next thing you know, they're saying, well, you know, maybe they really do have something going at that church. Maybe there really is something happening over there. Maybe God really is trying to do something. God can reverse the word of a king just in one fiery experience where the supernatural hit. My. And so God, in the hour that we are living in, has not called us to mingle with the darkness, but he's called us to rule the night. He's called us to be stars in the middle of a night sky. Someone say that he also gave the stars for seasons. Say for seasons. This morning I began to read and I began to study about how stars could dictate seasons. And I read a little interesting fact about Australia's history. The Aboriginal people, they could dictate spring, winter, summer, and fall by the stars that would appear at nighttime. And when a star would appear as the sun was setting on the horizon, the Aboriginals could look at the star and say, summer's getting close. And they could tell that the season was shifting over the land based on what the stars were doing in the horizon. And the Lord spoke to me this morning and said, is it a coincidence that a year ago, David Myers bumps into Brother Harvey? Just happens that two stars in the sky, in the corruption of the night, find themselves together because a ship is delayed in a harbor. And they say, you know what, Brother Herring, we ought to have Winds Conference in Australia. And then all of a sudden, a celestial pattern of stars begins to meet on a Saturday morning in Sydney, Australia. Well, what does that mean, Brother Green? What does that mean, Brother Harvey? I can't really read the stars, but I do know how to feel after the Holy Ghost. And I'll tell you what I felt like the Lord spoke to me. I feel a seasonal shift in the supernatural. And I'm telling this church, in the Holy Ghost, you have warred, you have fought, but I see the stars aligning in my winds could have gone anywhere, any other country, but God put two stars together a year ago. And then all of a sudden on a Friday night and then on a Saturday morning, a star shows up here and there and there and there and there and there. And amidst however many people are here today, I see as the night is setting on the world that God is saying, but I've got a celestial pattern in Sydney, Australia that has come together to tell this nation there's a harvest, there's a revival, there's a shift. My God, I wish somebody would loose your faith right now. This is a word from God. I've heard from the Lord. I feel a seasonal shift. You've labored hard. You've warred great, but I feel it. Lift your voice and lift your voice right now and let hell know there's a shift.
I'm here to preach to people that have labored hard. You've prayed great. You've fasted great. And you've seen great revival. But I'm telling you in the Holy Ghost, we're not here just by happenstance. We're not here by accident. We're not here just to be here. We may have thought that we just decided to have conference here, but it's more than that. I said it's more than that. Can you see it? I said, can you see it? Can you look into the horizon? Can you see it? I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost right now. I'm going to say something bold, and I'm on live stream when I say it, and I know I am. Brother Harvey, when you begin to talk about the building last night, and you begin to talk about a miracle from one man, I felt a quickening in my spirit. It's not going to happen from one man. God's going to raise up businesses in this church, and God's going to raise up wealth out of the people that are already here, and God's going to bless this body, and there's going to be a loosening because God needs to have a church in Sydney that shines amidst the charismatic movement that was born here, amidst all of the perverse. Don't get quiet on me right now. That old nasty charismatic spirit is going to fall at the feet of Jesus Christ, and the Pentecostals of Sydney are going to shine brighter than they've ever shined. Why? There's a celestial pattern in the horizon. I see it. I feel it. Atolobo, lift your hands, and if you've got the Holy Ghost, loose your tongue in Jesus' name. Come on, let me hear it. Reando Rosata. I'm telling you, we're going to break something today. I said we're going to break something today. Something's going to break in the supernatural. Rosata, yaha. Rekeando Rosata. If you've got the Holy Ghost, lift your hands and lift your voices all over this house. That's it. Lift your voices all over this house. Brother Green, you feel something? You feel something? I'm asking you to extend your faith right now.
I'm asking you to extend your faith right now. I'm asking you to loose your voices right now. If you want to come to the altar, get to this altar. But I'm asking you to enter into the flow of the Spirit right now. I'm asking you not to worry about the time, the music, or the message. I'm asking you to step out in faith and say, I see it in the horizon. I see it in the horizon. I see the stars. And they're saying the pattern's shifting. The season is changing. There's something here right now. Everybody that's filled with the Holy Ghost, lift your voice. I'm telling you, something is breaking. 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 Do what you feel in the Holy Ghost. Do what you feel in the Holy Ghost. Rekeata rosa ha, rotoyeata ha. Don't worry about what's next. Lift your voice. Don't worry about what's next. Lift your voice. I'm telling you, something is breaking right now. I'm telling you, something is shifting right now. I feel angelic help coming into this room. I feel it right now. Angels are stepping into the Pentecostals of Sydney. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Hare anda rakasataha. Hete, hete ataha. Hete atalo osata. Yete he asakataha. Etorondo rosata yaha. Ikea rosata. Ikorondo rosata yaha. I command every wall of oppression to fall right now. Ika rosata yehe. Mete a rosata yehe. Itoro ye akata yaha. Some of you are about to hear the verse, voice of God right now, and it's going to say, I've heard you from the beginning. I heard you from the first prayer. You thought I forgot about you. You thought I haven't been hearing you. You thought I overlooked you. But I heard you the first time you bent to knee, and you begin to pray, God, you've got to change.